It's a lesson to remind us that's going to happen to us. We'll someday be in a new form of existence that'll be far superior to our existence in this world. And that's the purpose. There's a shekel. The butterfly itself is a shekel. It's nothing. But the tremendous emes, and that emes is Baruch Ato Hashem Echal Yameisim. A different kind of a muscle. When Hitler, Yimach Shmo, began collecting Jews for concentration camps and torturing them, the news reached Rabbi Yeruchim Zechayim Avroch Demir Mashgiach. Therefore, the Nazis overran Poland. And this is what he said. Because the world stopped believing in Gehenna, Gehenna is very important to believe in. HaKadosh Baruch took Gehenna out of the next world and brought it into this world. And he showed us an example of Gehenna. He had mothers with little children being marched off to the gas chamber. Together, they're locked in, the gas is turned on, and they're crying out, they're shrieking, they're suffering, and they're dying. Then the bodies are taken out, and they're put into stoves, and they're burned into ashes. Tragedy had no equal, never before in history. And so Rabbi Yehuda said, it's Gehenna. It's what they're teaching us, there is a Gehenna. Gehenna is much worse. Yes. Gehenna is worse than Hitler's concentration camps. And therefore we have to think about that. Don't forget what happened. We have to study it. It's a muscle that is important to bring it to our minds. But in the next world, they can be eligible for the happiness of the world to come. But those people who lose their right to Olam Haba, for instance, all the Nazis, all the German people at that time, and even at that day, all the Germans are going to end up in Gehenna, and you can be sure that Gehenna is 1,000 times worse than what they did to the Jewish victims. You have to believe it, be'emun or shlema. You have to feel that right now, Hitler is screaming terribly. Every day he's being given back his coat of meat and bones and nerves, and he's being subjected to the very worst tortures. And he's screaming terribly. Our blood would run cold if we could hear it. And it's going on every day. You have to believe that. You have to picture it. All the Rishoyim that persecuted our people are getting what they deserve in Gehenna. And it's of such fearsome proportions that we couldn't even tolerate looking at it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the tzaddikim in the next world koyach, supernatural koyach, that they can look at it and they say, yes, Hashem is just. Hashem has shown justice. Later Hashem Mishpatos. Hashem is recognized by the judgment that he did upon the Rishonim. And the tzaddikim are witnessing that. However, although we don't see it with our eyes, we must learn from the muscle of the concentration camps that is a tremendous place of infinite punishment. And it's going on day and night. And there are plenty of customers there of all the nations. They're being tortured constantly. And if we don't think about that, then we're lacking the understanding what that muscle was for. That muscle was to teach us that great lesson. What do you think, Hitler could kill 6 million people and then take a perfume poison and you leave this world, it's all over. The fun began just when he died. And to believe in Emunah Shleima, every Roshe who persecuted Jewish people is now in Gehenna and suffering terribly for years and years and years. And every minute is worse than all the pain of Olam Hazeh. In this world, there's no pain as they do experience in Olam Haba every minute. Now we have to understand occasions in this world. Purim. Purim, mitzvah. We happen on Purim. On Purim, however, Purim is a moshe. A tremendous moshe. It's a nahafehu. Purim is a day when we see the world upside down. On Purim, they saw the 10 sons of Haman hanging. Haman's sons are hanging just before they're getting ready to massacre all the Jewish people. Now they're hanging. It was a na'afehu. It was a tremendous experience. They became crazy, upside down. Just before Haman had the king's ring on his finger. Now Mordechai is wearing the king's ring on his finger. Haman had a crown on his head. He was honored. Mordechai goes out and tells the whole Gedolah a great golden crown on his head. Now that's nothing for this world, it's for the next world. In this world, there's only once we saw such an apparition. Hashem made it happen. We should see as a muscle. That's how it should be. It always should be that the Rishonim are hanging. Yes, the world should be full of jealous. No pity. All down the street should be hanging from lampposts. All the Rishonim are preaching about it. And someday you'll see it. It's a pleasure. And they'll say, when the mitzvah pull the string, and he'll be pulled up to the lamppost by his neck, pull stronger, like a little foot, up and down, up and down. Absolutely. It's going to happen that way. Only 1,000 times worse than you can imagine. You have to learn how to believe in that. So when you think about Purim, Purim has to serve as a model for understanding what the next world is like. The Shoim and Yehenim are getting now. You have to say, I believe the Emunah Shleima, that all the Shoim are getting what they deserve. Only they're getting much more than we think they deserve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them abundance, more than we think they should get. It's not exaggeration. Our Torah is full of such lessons, and therefore we accept the teachings, and we have to train ourselves to get out of Olam Hazeh. The M is not the Sheker. The Sheker is that the Gentiles have power, Gentiles call us names, and they persecute us. That's how it is in this world. They belittle us, they hate us. It's only this world, it's a Sheker world. And many Jews, or ignorant Jews, are influenced by that. And they start despising Jewish people. Many of them try to conceal themselves and look like Gentiles. They want to get lost among the Goyim. They don't realize that all this is a muscle to learn. And there'll be another place where it's all upside down. And then they'll try to say, well, we are Jews. Oh, too late, too late. In the world of preparation, you try to be like Gentiles. Now in this world, when they come to a place for reward and punishment, you want to be like Jews again. Too late, too late. To change your names back, Jeffrey, into Yankee, Marvin into Moshe, change your names back again while they're still here. Identify with the Jewish people as much as possible, and you'll join in with the happiness of the Jewish people. And all the others, the nations that hate us, all will be in the world to come as their fathers are already there. The grandfathers are there. They'll join their previous generations and all will be burning again and forever and ever. I don't think it's a talk. Yeshaya HaNavi said, my servants are going to eat, and you will be hungry. That's a picture. The big banquet hall. And all the most luscious foods, the best caterers, couldn't equal the happiness of the diet, of the menu that's being served in the Olam Haba. We're all sitting there. But all around us, along the walls, are all the Gentiles and all the Rishoyim. And they're not eating, they're looking. They're looking. We're not allowed to give them anything from the table. We're eating. In Ayavada, your Chelamai servants are going to eat by 10, but you all will be hungry. They'll be standing there, and there'll be the saliva drooling from their mouths. They're dying starvation. A little piece of bread. We don't give them anything. Avoda, your Chelamai servants will eat. Batem, dear Abel, you're going to be hungry. Avoda, your Rhino, me too, life. My servants will sing out from happiness of heart. Batem, Tisaku, me cable. You will cry out from the pain of your heart. That's a picture Yeshaya HaNavi gives us. That picture has to put into our heads. So every Purim, when you read what happened to Haman, it's a muscle of actually what is taking place. We have to learn about Gehenna. Of course, you have to be careful not to go there yourself. Very important. Be afraid of Gehenna. Even a little visit. Sometimes you have to make a little visit. Oh, what a visit that is. Better not go. If you do anything in this world to prepare to avoid that visit that faces. But they won't only visit, they'll be there. They're permanent residents of Gehenna. And therefore, we have to learn that lesson and keep it in our minds always, always, always. The Chof is kind of going to live. Want to give cover to the Chof is kind. Here's what he said. Cover is kugel. And you don't eat kugel out of Shabbos. Which means COVID is for the next world. Yes. COVID is not sheker, but you have to know where to use it. It's for the next world. It's a place of COVID. But it's kugel. And you don't eat kugel out of Shabbos. Only on Shabbos, in the next world. Ashrei mi shebolekan v'talmudei beyodei. How fortunate the man who comes into the next world. And he brings along his Talmud with him. Ashrei. How fortunate you are. If you can bring along a perek, very good. A mesichta. If you can bring along a couple of mesichtas. The Talmud Beyodei, that's Asher. You get covered for that. Neged Zekena of Covet. Olam Haba is a place where covet is fulfilled. Now, covet is a reality and it's a sheker. Whether people give you honor, people honoring you. You know, in this rug, there are millions of germs. Oh, these germs are honoring you right now. Feel happy about it? Millions of germs are applauding you right now. Means nothing. So all the germs that were applauding, you say, you hit a baseball with your bat, you made a home run. So 50,000 machine going, go wild, go machine, woo, home run. Machine in the world. Empty world. But it's not empty, however. COVID is very important. We want COVID, and you should deserve COVID, only not now. Now it's too early. Just eating kugel out of Shabbos. Wait until Shabbos. Then you'll get what you deserve in the form of kugel. It's a real kugel. The honor the next world. Honor is a great thing. Honor causes people a great happiness. Only it's a false happiness. But when it's gained properly and it's put away, it's deposited, to be drawn out of the bank in Olam Haba, then that COVID is a tremendous thing. If you live decently, You kept your mouth closed. You were always kind-hearted to people. Always thought about Hashem. Always thought about Olam Haba. Always thought about the Torah. Always thought about helping people. Always thought about Emunah in Tchias HaMeisim. Always thought about Gan Eden. So many things to think about. Your mind is full of these things. You're going to get covered for all that wealth. Ashay Misha Bolekan, and all the wealth of Shlemus is Bayodeh. That's a place where covered will be fulfilled. But that's why when covered is visible in this world, you should utilize it. And therefore, here's a man who got the Nobel Prize. Nobel Prize, he goes to the place where they give out the prizes, he gets a big amount of money, comes home very happy. It's nothing at all. Nothing at all. But you utilize that. There's a real Nobel Prize, given for real nobility. A prize that's worth something. This lasts forever. And it's a million times, not exaggeration, a million times greater than this prize that he got. And real covet. You know, Arafat got the Nobel Prize too. Understand what a value it has. Arafat got the Nobel Prize once. A peace prize. A real peace lover. And so, the covet of this world is worthless. And even if it's given us something that seems good, it's also nothing. But it's a muscle, a valuable muscle. So it's a sheker, but it's a great emes in itself. To take an example, how to utilize a chasen. When you come to a chasen as a guest, and then the chasen puts a ring on the kalda's finger, and he breaks the glass, and the band breaks out in a great blast of happy noise, happy music. Everybody gets wild. Starts jumping up and down, and kissing each other, and the simcha is at the top. Oh, the yishama. You have to know, it's only a muscle. Of course it's a mitzvah to cause happiness to chasen kol. It's a mitzvah to sami chasen kol. But that mitzvah in itself is not enough. It's a muscle. You see, you say, oh, Yishoma, not now. Oh, Yishoma, Be'or Yehuda, or Be'chutz Yishalayim, Til Sosim Yolzim. I'm not talking about now, then. It's a muscle for the future. You're taking the happiness of Chosin Kala right now, and all the guests are going wild with Simcha. The father finally married off his daughter, got rid of her finally. He's drunk. He's full of sad happiness. All jumping up and down, and the music is tremendous. Oh, Zishoma. This is nothing, however. Oh, Zishoma. Bar Yehuda. Kill Sosra. He says, I'm muscled. Someday it'll be a happiness. Oh, it'll be a happiness. Finally, the news came out. You hear that? Mashiach is here. Everybody will go crazy with happiness. And happiness will last forever. And the next world, even more. The happiness of Elam Habo had no muscle. The mother says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives kach to the tzaddikim to be able to bear their happiness. It's too much for them to bear. It would explode from the experience that they had in the dead. So he gives them a special kach to enjoy the great happiness of the world to come. And so you go to a chasen, and you become excited. Nothing wrong to dance up and down, to sing, to participate, nothing wrong. But keep in mind, oh, Yishoma. It's a muscle of something much greater than this chasen, much greater. That's how this world is to be utilized, to serve as a muscle. Now let's say a humble muscle will take. You're standing in the street and you look at the sidewalk and you see a bunch of ants running back and forth. They're busy, as busy as could be. Running back and forth, back and forth. It's nothing. Ants. You're a kind-hearted person. You want to step on the ants? walk aside, don't step on that. But you lost opportunity. Shlomo HaMelech says, Leich el hanem ola otzel, go to the ant, you lazy fellow. We're all lazy. We're not utilizing our lives properly. Look at the ant. Look at the ant. Is that ant lazy? Look at her ways and become wise. Ant doesn't rest. Back and forth, back and forth. Why? Ogedes bakayis lachmu. She prepares her food in the summertime. She has instinct. In the wintertime, only any crumbs to get. Summertime, there are crumbs around. Pieces of grain and so on. And so the ant works day and night, all it can, storing up as much as it can for the future. Oh, that's what the ant is for. That's what the ant is for. By the way, the ant is very important. Without ants, we couldn't live. Ants cause the soil to be productive. Very important to have ants. But that's the main lesson is to learn from the ants. It says, look at her ways, we become wise. Altas Labotka said, it's a pity that you have to go learn from the ants. It's a pity you have to learn from the ants. It's a pity you have to learn from the ants. But the bigger pity, we don't learn from the ants. That's such a good habit. It's a pity we don't learn from the ants. That's what you're supposed to do. In the summertime, you run a bungalow colony, walk behind the bungalows and watch an anthill for a few minutes and say, these ants are preparing for Erlo Mahabo. Ants are we. We have to run back and forth, learn all the time, do mitzvahs, mothers are raising children. As many children you can bring into this world, you should know it. You're preparing yourself, Erlo Mahabo, the very best way. Teach your children, Yerushalayim, Midas, Tavis, Torah. Whatever you can do in this world to produce something, or get us back high as lachma, prepare your bread in the summertime. This world is the summertime. The next world is a wintertime. No more mitzvahs to do in the next world. No more opportunities. Whatever you bring with you from this world to the next world, that's what you'll have. And therefore, lech el hanem ola, so go to the ant, you lazy fellow. Well, summer and winter, therefore, also become emotional. Summertime, you see the trees are producing apples and pears and peaches. See the fruit trees, all producing now. That's why the hot weather is very good. We should thank Hashem for the hot weather. It's cooking on the trees and making ripe all that luscious fruit for us. And even though it's a little bit inconvenient sometimes, but if your wife is baking a nice cake in the kitchen, you won't complain that it's too hot. You're going to eat that cake and enjoy it. And so now, in this world, it's a little bit hot in the summertime. Enjoy the heat and the thing. We're preparing here for the time when we won't be able to get any more. This is the only world where we can do a mitzvah. The next world, we take along whatever we have prepared. We take along the mitzvahs that we prepared. And therefore, Misha taught us Be'er Shabbos. If you labored Erev Shabbos, you baked and you cooked Erev Shabbos, Yechol B'Shabbos. And that's why Shabbos is also a marshal for Olam Haba. And you sit at the Shabbos table and you think, well, I'd like to have something else. Too late now, you should order it before Shabbos. Can't cook on Shabbos. So Misha taught out Erev Shabbos. If you prepared Erev Shabbos, Yechol B'Shabbos. That the Shabbos table thing is on muscle. It's a beautiful muscle Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos. But don't lose the muscle. Think this is a muscle for the next world. In the next world, there are plenty of people sitting there and there's nothing on the tables. It's Shabbos there already. Every Shabbos in this world has passed by. Too late, can't prepare anymore. But we're still here. And therefore, Misha taught us to labor Erev Shabbos, to hold the Shabbos. Very important, utilize the Shabbos for that purpose. May Ein Olam Habo Yim Shabbos Venucho. For Amisam Yim Bo Yiskel Rav Toiro. And these also, if you utilize the Shabbos for the purpose of Shabbos, think about Bliyas Elam Yesh Ve'ayim. Hashem made the world out of nothing. Enjoy all the good things that He made. You're eating the food that He created. Yishmeyayim. And Olam Chesed, your body made the world with Chesed. And He made it for the sons of Yisrael. Nobody else had the mitzvah of Shabbos. You're privileged. And you think all these noble thoughts every Shabbos while you're eating? Well, that's also preparing for the great Shabbos that will come after this Erev Shabbos. You utilize Shabbos properly. Also Pesach. Pesach. Everybody labors for Pesach. Nikas Chometz. So much work getting rid of the Pesach. When Pesach comes, they sit down dead tired. Oh no! You sit down at the Seder. The Seder is a morsel. The Seder is what's going to happen. When you leave this Mitzrayim, Elohim Hazeh, Elohim Mitzrayim. We're slaving in this world. The purpose will go out with a chush gobel, with a great wealth will come out of this world. A great wealth. Well, they're not the money to the Messiah. The wealth and the understanding that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has full power over the world. Understanding that Hashem calls us His Son, B'nei B'chere Yisrael. Many other forms of shleimus they acquired in Mitzrayim. If we had the Mitzrayim and we have seen the Makkos, we would be transformed from the head to the feet. Emunah and gratitude to Hashem. And therefore, when we are eating the Maser and we perform the Seder, or any time during Pesach eat Maser, think about what Maser comes to tell you. You see as Mitzrayim, the experience there, with a tremendous opportunity to prepare for the great function when they will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and hear the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai. And therefore, you see as Mitzrayim is a pakadome to the great experience of Elam Habo when we say, Hu Yashminu Barach HaRoshaydis, another time, and let us hear His voice, and Yashem Alekechem. Hashem will speak to us again someday in Elam Habo. And that's why a person understands that Pesach is a muscle to something much greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, it's a very important muscle. In itself, it's valuable. But besides that, Pesach comes to tell us a great lesson that this world is a world where we are laboring, we're meshubit to the parei, we're meshubit to all Elam Hazeh, and someday we'll go free and we'll be able to do it all our lives to do nothing but enjoy the happiness of Elam Habo. Now, Rosh Hashanah is a very important occasion. It's a day of judgment. Serious. But we have to know there's a more important day of judgment. After Rosh Hashanah, you're only donating your frumkeit, your emunah, to the idea of judgment. You don't feel that you're being judged. Don't see that you're being judged. Only you have emunah, what our sages told us, and therefore you react according to Amunah. But there'll come a day when there'll be a real judgment. And that's a muscle. That's called a Maimid HaDin. And the Sforim say you should always have before your eye the Maimid HaDin, the great day when you'll have to appear all by yourself before the great tribunal. And I call you, brother, look down on you, and you'll say, why did you do this? And then you can't bluff. You can't give alibis. And you won't be able to answer. It'll be embarrassment, terrible. Shame is terrible. And if Rosh Hashanah will be a muscle for the great Yom HaDin HaGadol VeHaNora. And everybody will have to go through that experience. The biggest tzaddikim, of course. Tzaddikim will be able to answer more favorable answers. And Hashem will smile at them. Hashem will smile down on you. It's the greatest happiness. But suppose Hashem will hear your question. The question, you have nothing to answer, and they'll frown on you. Hashem's frown is more than Gehenna. Hashem frowns is worse than Gehenna. It's a terrible experience. The embarrassment. Suppose you walk in the street, and you didn't realize that you have a hole in your pants, a big hole in the back of your pants. And somebody told you, so embarrassed, you run to the first alley where you can hide. The embarrassment when Hashem will say to you, why did you do this? And he makes a muscle a tremendous muscle. When Yisrael HaTzadik was dressed like an Egyptian prince, and the king's ring was on his finger, the brothers thought he was the Mishnah Lamela. Brothers fell down before him, were afraid of him. Finally opened his mouth and said in Hebrew, "Ani Yosef." They almost died. They were so overwhelmed. That's the Yosef they wanted to sell him as a slave. "Ani Yosef." They weren't able to answer him. They lost their language. Now a big brother never is ashamed in front of a younger brother. But here all the big brothers lost their tongue. They couldn't. "That's Yosef. I wanted to kill him at first. Sell him. That's Yosef." So he must say, "Oh my God, I better can't bother it. Oh, Ilona, my Yomadin. Oh, Ilona, my Yomadin. There'll be someday even worse than that. When I call this boy, will speak to us and say, 'You are this.' All your life you thought you were something else. You are a prince, you're a good fellow, you're a tzaddik." And someone said, "You're a mean fellow, a mean woman, a mean man. He'll show you with his finger and won't be able to answer. How terrible the embarrassment will be." And so you have to learn from Chumash and Moshe. Of course, it's a beautiful story of Yisrael HaTzadik. But the Rabbi Karen Balder says, it's more valuable as a Moshe with a very great experience. Now, once more, this world is a world of Mishalim. Very many things are given in this world for the purpose of making us aware that something more important, a very great secret, is hiding behind everything in this world, the secret of Hashem and the secret of Olam Haba. And this world is for the purpose of making us aware of these secrets and getting ready for that great happiness waiting for us. And those who know how to utilize the secret, they're taking this wisdom that they're learning and changing it into a das. That's the highest form of perfection that they take with them into the world to come. Every day, practice on it. Practice the feeling that you're going to bed someday, never to get up again, in a far distant future, and practice the experience, opening eyes in the morning, a tremendous happiness. I'm alive again for the day to come.
Greetings from the Yeshiva Beis Yisrael to Kol Yisrael.
Everyone knows that Kehelas emphasized the emptiness of many things in this world. Havel Havolim, Omar Kehelas. Went through a whole list of things. They say, Gam Ze Hevel. This is also nothing. Now, there's a statement in the Medrash. Boira Mishabcha, their creator, praised them. Hashem said, Kol Asher Oso, Hine Tov Meod, everything is very good. Ve'atom Egano, and you despise them? How can you say it's all hevel? Hashem says it's all good. And so we see it both are true. All the inyonim of this world are false, and at the same time they're also true. The falsehood of Olam Hazeh is when you look at them for their own value. Like people look at wealth as something that's important in itself, or even life is important in itself. To live many years, covet. People desire glory just for the sensation of feeling elated at the honor that people give them. Victory, when one army wins and the conquering general returns home with his soldiers, he receives a great ovation and a parade, and that is in itself the purpose of Kohala. Love that men have for women and even love of nature. The beautiful scenery, when it's taken for itself, is Hakel Hodo. And this is what Kehelle said, Havel Havolim Hakel Hodo. But what about the truth of this world? This world, in many ways, testifies to great eternal truths. If you learn how to see them, and we make use of them in certain ways, then the world can give us the ability to discern, to recognize truths that most people don't begin to think about. I will start with some examples. The happiness of life, there's no question. Great many occasions when people experience happiness. If they would be taken as simonim, as signs, as evidence of the Chesed Hashem, the Chesed Hashem fills the entire world. There isn't a space in the universe, not a place on this earth or in the oceans, that not for the purpose of Chesed Hashem. When we walk out into the street and we take a look at the world, we ordinarily see nothing. You may see a nice day, beautiful trees, sun is shining. But when a man has trained himself to utilize these testimonies, to open his mind to see much more, you see that the world is full of Chesed Hashem. Now, of course, by merely hearing these words, nobody is affected. You continue in the same attitude as before. We're merely teaching the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving hints. And whenever we are impressed by the beauties of nature, when you see beautiful trees, lawns and gardens and flowers, or even a beautiful sky, and you think it is being shown to you as a demonstration of Hashem's kindliness. The world is full of His kindliness. We don't see it unless we learn how to recognize it. And from the signs that are easy for us to see, for instance, things we enjoy in nature, let's say, if you enjoy a beautiful panorama, fields, rivers, mountains in the distance, all these things stir in you a certain feeling beyond the ordinary attitude of interest in scenery. You feel there's a mystery here, and it is a mystery. All the beauties of nature testify to the great principle that the world is full of Chesed Hashem. Now all this, however, is a mushel. It's a portent. It's a foretaste of something very great that's waiting. It's a hint of the glory of the world to come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to live like sheep who look at the grass and enjoy the meal, and they chew the luscious grass. That's all they're thinking about. No. To mankind He has given a certain concealed emotion. It's concealed, but it's capable of being revealed. Emotion that this tells us there's something very, very beautiful, very, very great that's waiting for us. It's beyond the horizon. But we feel instinctively there's something of vast happiness that's hinted at by what we see with our eyes. All the good things in this world, and there are many, I have to admit it, many forms of enjoyment, many forms of happiness, well-being, all these things actually have a higher function. To give you an instinct of realizing that much more is waiting in the future. Take an example, wealth. People are greedy for more and more. Ohev kesef, lo yisba kesef. People who love money, which means us, never have enough. Oh, we want more and more. But this statement was said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Ohev kesef, lo yisba kesef, that Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was desirous of getting more money. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there was kesef. Kesef, the word means to desire. Nichseif and nichsavti. something to desire. He desired. What did he desire? He desired the most valuable money there is in the world. The money of perfection, of greatness of character. That's the money he wanted. And therefore, as much as he attained in his lifetime, which was tremendous, he became so perfect that nobody even remotely approached his greatness. And yet when Hashem told him, Hein, Koru Yomech Olam, behold, your days are close, are near to die, you're going to die soon. Now you lived 120 years, and the years were the most full and successful years anybody ever had. He put out the biggest protest. He wanted to live more. Was Chanan El Hashem. I begged Hashem, please Hashem, let me live longer. Here's a man who loved Kesef. What was necessary to become great, he had achieved, he had utilized his life. But he wanted more and more. But Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw a man who was busy picking up money in Mitzrayim, when Hashem said, you have to take out the wealth of Mitzrayim, because some people were very busy collecting the money from Mitzrayim. Moshe was looking at them. The man is out for money. It's not a waste. There's a purpose in it. Of course, it was a mitzvah. Hashem said, the salt them as Mitzrayim. You should empty out Mitzrayim. And this man was doing the mitzvah with a very great energy. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's something there. The desire for money is a muscle for a great desire everybody has potentially within you. You have a desire to become great, a desire to become perfect. There's so much to develop. A human being is like a gold mine. And the miners who came to look for gold work day and night digging in the ground for gold. And we also have to dig into ourselves and bring forth the greatness more and more. There's no limit how much we can bring forth. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu produced an unequaled wealth out of himself, nobody ever came close to him. Oh, he had kesef. But lo yisbak, he wasn't satisfied, wanted more. And that is a remez, a hint of our purpose in this world. We're here to take whatever we can, as much as we can. On all sides, there's so much to take. I give a muscle, which you can take. You can take along the whole Shas with you if you learn the whole Talmud. You can take along the whole Mesilas Yesharim Achayvas Haldalas, Rambam, Shari Shuva with you. There's so much to take out of this world. You're standing near a fruit stand and you're admiring the miracle of red pears and blue pears and purple pears and yellow pears and golden pears, and each one has a separate taste, maybe 100 different tastes, and so beautiful all of them, wrapped in beautiful peels. And you're standing there, you're not going to eat, an interest in eating these things, but you see Chesed Hashem in the world. That's a wealth. The more you recognize the greatness of Hashem's kindness, the greater you are. That's a possession. If you are able to learn from a fruit stand all the greatness of Hashem that's demonstrated by the various fruits, the fruits of happiness, fruits of joy, I call this boy gave flavor. Why did he give all this? To demonstrate that he is the Rav Chesed, is the source of kindness. The more we learn about Hashem's kindness, the greater we become. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu and the Atzilei Bnei Yisrael, the noblemen of Israel, came to Har Sinai, so they had a vision. Vayechzu es Elokim, they saw Elokim. It's a remarkable incident. They saw Elokim. What did they do? Vayochlu vayish, and they ate and they drank. It seems a contradiction. They were so full of joy when they viewed the Shekhinah. Not everybody was eligible. Only Atzilei Bnei Yisrael, only the noblemen of Bnei Yisrael, the best. And when they viewed it, what did they do? They sat down to eat and drink. Answer is, they said, it's not enough that our minds are overjoyed at what we see. We want our body also to participate. The body should also get excited. And so they ate and drank. While eating and drinking, the body was participating now. Together, the goof and the nefesh were enjoying the scene. That's called gaining das, awareness of the great truths. And that das, that's wealth. To become aware of the presence of Hashem, or the kindliness of Hashem, of all the midas tavis of Hashem, to get that into your mind and to feel it with your neshama, that's called a wealth. And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to live longer to get more wealth. And therefore, when you hear of millionaires or multimillionaires, you should know they are put in the world for a muscle. They're not learning anything from it. They're wasting their lives. They've invested all their thoughts on the dollar bills, paper, bank books, paper. It's only a dream. But you are taking the hevel, the sheker, and utilizing as a muscle, as a model to understand, yes, it pays to gain as much as you can of wealth in this world. And therefore, all that we can learn of Yiras Hashem and the Torah Hashem, all good midas, all praises of Hashem, Baruches V'Hedoyes Me'atov V'Adelon, there's so many things to say about HaKadosh Baruch, to recognize about Him, Hanun V'Rachum Hashem, we say it without thinking, but there's so much in these words that will transform our minds. It's wealth to gain these attitudes. And therefore, when you see a millionaire, a multimillionaire, and is busy making money, it's put in this world for you to utilize as a muscle, that there are millions in this world for you to take. Only he doesn't know which ones. And there he wastes his life serving as a muscle for us. The Rambam said, Olam Habo is called by various names in the Kisrei HaKadosh. And the Rama says, for instance, Olam Habo is called Derech HaKadosh. Now, when you look in the Pasuk, where it's written in Tehillim, Derech HaKadosh, he's talking about a road that leads to Kadosh. Let's say you're standing at a road. Anytime you experience something interesting, maybe way down that road, there's something interesting. You feel like walking down that road, traveling, and see what's there. You come there, you see it's nothing there either. Nothing more than when you started. It's a deception. But the road is a muscle. The desire to travel on that road, let's see what's doing over there. That desire is a desire to see the road that leads to Olam Haba. That's the secret of the road. There's a yearning to go someplace. You know, the travel agencies say, don't stand still, travel. They want to sell you tickets to travel. Back and forth, in airplanes, in boats, knock yourself out, maybe catch some diseases on the route, and lose a lot of money. But the desire to travel hints that mankind is looking for something. What are you looking for? What are you running around for? Someone's traveling here, someone's traveling there. What are you looking for? And the answer is, they are only a muscle. They're wasting their lives. But we know we have to travel. You can't stand still. This is a data. The world is a road. And you walk on the road, keep on going and going, and you come closer and closer to our cottage border. And therefore, a road is a muscle. So any time you have the experience, you come to a street, a nice clean street, way down you see houses, trees, and you think, maybe I should go down there and see what's there. You should know it's a waste of time. You have to go down and see what's there in the Sfarim, what's in Mesilas Yesharim, or what's in this world, wisdom, and Chochmah, and Chesed. Why don't you travel? Where you are, you'll find all these things right now, but you have to travel. Keep on going. Don't stand still. There's so much to travel in this world. So much to accomplish. Tam is another muscle. Har, a mountain. Har Hashem. Miyale b'Har Hashem. That's a muscle. Elam Habo. Now we know that pasuk you're talking about the Beis Hamikdash. Miyale b'Har Hashem. Or miyokamim kaim kodshei. Who walked up in the mountain of Hashem. But the Rama said, no, it's a muscle. The mountain of Hashem is Olam Haba. So now, when you came to the Har Habayis, and you're climbing up, you're supposed to think, Har Habayis, after all, is nothing but a little temple on the surface of the earth. We're climbing up the Har Habayis, but it's a muscle. There's another mountain we have to climb. Mountain coming closer and closer to Hashem. Just like you climb this mountain to come to the base of Hashem, there's another mountain to climb. Come closer and closer to Hashem. A mountain of Shlemus. Greatness of character. Nobility of soul. Knowledge of Hashem. And therefore, Miyale Behar Hashem O Miyokam Im Kaim Kosha. Although the Pashtus deals with the place of the Beis HaMikdash, but the Neshama of that Pasuk means who will rise up to go on the real mountain of Hashem, where the real Shechina is, and come closer to our Kodesh Baruch. We find that Olam Haba, the Rambam says, is compared to a seuda, a banquet. Oh, it's important information. Now you're going to a wedding banquet. All seated at the table, mitzvah, the ani chasna the kalat. Very good, but not enough, no. The seuda, any banquet, has to serve as a mushroom. There's a great Suda waiting. Mankind should know a tremendous happiness is waiting. This world is like a lobby before we enter the great banquet hall. Prepare yourself in the lobby in order to enter afterwards into the banquet hall. And we know there's a big banquet hall, and we're going to enjoy the meal there forever and ever. We'll never tire of the happiness of the thing that they will give us in the world to come. But you have to prepare for it. Now there's a lobby. This world is not a place to stuff yourself with food. It's a place to prepare yourself with as much perfection as you can. Hashtein asmah. Improve yourself. In what way? There are thousands of ways you can guard yourself from shmiras haloshon, careful with your tongue. You can do chesed to people, emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu by giving kindness to people. You can be full of Yediyas HaTorah, Bavei Kame, Bavei Nesiya, Bavei Basra, all the Shas, as much as possible, pack into yourself. There's so much to prepare for Olam Haba. Women who bring up his family of children, what a great success it is to bring up children. Shomrei Mitzvah is a firm family. That woman is like a muscle to HaKadosh Baruch who created Adam and Chava. She is creating human beings and bringing them into the world of Torah. What a tremendous thing. Even she's standing in the kitchen and she's cooking for her family, or she's washing the laundry. All that is for the purpose of bringing into the world the greatness that she is producing. And it's a muscle. It's a great muscle for the perfection that comes into the world when families are created. And therefore, when you start looking at things with an eye of understanding, you begin seeing beneath the surface how important everything is. The Suda muscle is a tremendous muscle, the Rambam said, to stimulate the mind to think of the great banquet waiting for us. In the Teferas Yisrael, the Peres HaMishnayas, on the Sifta Sanhedrin, he devotes a big amount of space to the butterfly. The butterfly with a worm. A worm creeping slowly, slowly on the branch. It can hardly move. A very ugly creature too. Then the butterfly starts spitting out a thread and it weaves a funeral shroud, tachrichim, for itself, until it's entirely surrounded by tachrichim of its own creation. And then the worm dies and the worm starts decaying, and from the decayed worm inside it bursts forth from the cocoon a beautiful butterfly with wings, and it flies way up in the air, far higher than we can go, rapidly. What a beautiful creature flying with wings. This was once that worm, that poor contemptible little worm. So the Talmud says it's a muscle for us. We have to utilize that in order to gain the great lesson of Tchiyas HaMeisim. Our little bodies, sometimes we're not so well. When you're old and worn out and people are ready to leave this world, what can you be with us? We're nobodies. Oh no! Someday you'll come forth in a new edition. A beautiful edition. Shining, as the Sforim say. The neshama will shine through your body. The body will then be transparent like glass. The neshama will shine through. Be a tremendous new personality. Forever and ever, there will be the great happiness of Tchiyas HaMeisim. A form of existence infinitely superior to the existence in this world. And those who are like little, unimportant little caterpillars, if they lived properly, they didn't lose their rights to Tchiyas HaMeisim, and so they will someday have to come forth in a way that will astonish them. And they have to say in this world, V'ne'emon atole ha'chayos HaMeisim, we trust you, Hashem, that you're going to revive the dead. You have to learn to say these words every day and train yourself with emunah. And you have to say every day, Boruch Ato Hashem Echayamish, we're thanking you for the great gift of Tchiyas HaMeisim. The more you believe in it, the more you'll be zeicher to it. You must believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim in order to get it. And the way to do it is to picture it to yourself. If you can think of the butterfly, ever see a butterfly? It was once a little worm. A little worm is now flying with wings and such beautiful colors. Far above my head? Yes.